This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. A new playground is coming to Normal, but you won't find monkey bars or colorful plastic slides. Instead, you'll find logs, streams, and boulders. It's a natural playground meant to help kids navigate healthy risk-taking. It's being constructed at Hoos Elementary School with the help of a team of international designers, and it's all made possible through a donation from a former student at the school, Charlie Jobson. We're joined now by Charlie and some of the people behind the project. Charlie, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you very much.
I'd also like to welcome Adam Bienenstock. He's a founder of a natural playground company, and Tim Gill, who's a scholar and advocate for child-friendly designs. Thank you both so much for joining us as well.
Yeah, it's nice to be a part of this. Thanks.
Great to be here.
And listeners, our number, if you want to join our conversation, as always, 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. Charlie, I'm going to begin with you. Why did you decide to make this donation to your elementary school? I'm wondering, what was the playground experience like when you were a student there?
Well, it was, in central Illinois, flat as a pancake. We had a couple of baseball fields, a concrete swing area, a hopscotch, and a few trees. That's pretty much it. I've been to Scandinavia quite a few times and seen their beautiful natural playgrounds. And somehow I realized that, children really want to influence their own play. In Hella's and Scandinavian playgrounds, they have to bring things to life themselves and figure out what they want to play and read the landscape and its possibilities. And I think it's much more of a creative process when you have a natural playground than lining up to go on a slide with 20 other kids.
So Adam, can you tell us about your vision for the playground in Bloomington? What's it going to include?
Yeah, so I should start by saying, so Charlie mentioned Hella Nevelong from Copenhagen was the start of this for me, and is the lead designer for the project from Copenhagen. And so, my job is to make sure that I honor that as well as I possibly can in the build and working through all the specifications and frankly in interpreting it for the American rules around the ASTM and compliance and so on, which are significantly more complicated than they are in Europe. But the idea is to have that experience that you all remember as your favorite first experience when you dip your toe in the stream for the first time, or you felt the crunch of the sand in your teeth when you got your hands dirty or you rolled down the hill. But to do this in a way that's focused so that every single sense is alive while you're getting that dose of nature. These are learning environments for kids that will take them on a whole new path and journey that's just better for their development.
I'm forgetting the name of it. There was that documentary movie came out a few years ago about, I can't remember if it was in Scotland or England, a sort of a wild playground. It was almost like a dump in some
land.
Kids could start fires and things. So I take it that will not necessarily include all those elements that, American lawyers might not welcome.
Yeah, I mean, there is a certain amount of regulatory process that we're going to have to pay attention to as we get through this, unfortunately. And yeah, the land is a wild place. It is the idea of this unbridled wild zone where the kids really do have control of every aspect of their environment. We're doing this in a school board environment and frankly, we do not have to water it down that much in order to make this happen. We just have to pay attention to a bunch of rules that weren't written for this kind of play.
Interesting. So, Tim, I want to bring you into the conversation. Tim Gill, can you talk about healthy risk? Why is it that, in your view, traditional playgrounds do not facilitate the healthy risk in the way this sort of natural playground might?
I think the idea is really that one of the things that happens in childhood is that children go from being really dependent on adults for everything and their basic safety and needs to growing up, hopefully, to become, confident, capable, independent people. A lot of the stuff that Lenore and Christina was just talking about, and that part of that involves getting a sense of their own agency, of, what they can do, of how they can find their way around in their neighborhood and in the world, and just you know, getting to grips with the world around them, and finding out, you know, what an amazing but sometimes unpredictable place it is. And playgrounds just don't really cut it for that. Playgrounds, you know, there are some great conventional playgrounds, and you know, we all love a slide and a swing, but you know, when I was growing up, and I guess when these guys were growing up, you know, we had a bit more to you know, the world was more inviting, and we had more possibilities to explore. And I think this project is really about giving today's kids in at least one town something like the same opportunities to explore that many of us grown-ups can remember from our own childhoods.
Can you talk about what are some of the features in a natural playground that would present a healthy risk to a child?
Well, trees, slopes, sand and water, rocks, changes of level, paths that may not, you know, maybe immediately obvious where they go to, but also I think the kind of social risk, if you like, you know, exploring places that are new, or exploring places with your friends, or, you know, figuring out how you can work together as a team with some other kids in and maybe deal with, you know, possible conflicts, because, you know, heads up, sometimes kids don't get along with each other, and sometimes grown-ups don't get along with each other. And one of the lessons that I think that playgrounds and spaces that invite kids to explore, one of the lessons that kids can learn is how to sort of cope with and rise to the challenge of situations where there isn't an adult, you know, hanging over them, watching over their every move. And there's just more potential for that to happen, I think, in a rich, you know, rolling environment that's got, you know, maybe hidden places, and where you're not quite sure what's around the next corner. That's the idea, really. It's sort of celebrating uncertainty and adventure.
Let me remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about a project that's going in at an elementary school in the Bloomington Normal area to put in a natural playground. It's thanks to a donation from an alum of the school, Charlie Jobson. And we're also speaking with Tim Gill, scholar and advocate for child-friendly design, and Adam Bienenstock, who is the founder of Natural Playground Company. And Charlie, you mentioned earlier you were sort of inspired by the Scandinavian approach to playground design. Can you talk more about how you first encountered that?
I think part of it was, you know, I have four children, 2 8-year-old twins. And when I was in Scandinavia, I just naturally, my mind gravitated toward natural playgrounds that I saw there. And I started researching the field a bit, and I think I was able, you know, putting together this wonderful team of Hella, Adam, and Tim a place in Illinois, which I think is a, you know, great reference point for the playground, but nationally. But it was just connecting patterns and putting things together combined with an interest in the area. That's pretty much it.
And I wonder, what was it about the school that made you decide to go that road as opposed to like the public park district in Bloomington Normal, for example?
Yeah, you know, I originally thought about doing it at a public park district. I flew back to my hometown. I just shuttered my business, and I was looking for a way to contribute to my hometown. And then I saw the, you know, the tremendous tract of land that the Hoos School had, which is rare. It's a 16-acre site for a school in the middle of a residential community, which I think is, you know, quite rare thing to have that much land. And I just realized that the school would be a good place for it. And then I researched the internet, and the principal had mentioned a year prior that he would like a new playground, and that started it off.
Adam Bienenstock, can you talk about this playground comes with a pretty big price tag, at least to me. Maybe I don't know what playgrounds costs. Can you talk about why does it seem so expensive, especially with so many, you know, it's rocks and trees, right?
Right. And yeah, Brian, this I can tell you, this is not a normal price tag for a playground. As someone who's been involved in about 3,000 of them, I will say this is rare that someone is wanting to go this far. It's sort of 19 or 20 different spaces on one piece of property, each one creating another play experience. There's a massive hill or mound that's being built that the kids can be running up and down, and nothing is at a small scale. There is a couple thousand trees and shrubs going into this this space. There's a 4-acre curated meadow and prairie going in as part of this. There is water play, but not in the traditional sense. I mean, there's a mosaic artist coming in to create art, that combination of art and play in it. There are still structures that allow kids to climb up and down, but they're not prescriptive. They give you 17 different ways to figure out how to use those structures. And each zone and each space is a learning environment that has its own sort of curated indigenous forest that surrounds it. So there's more than one space, there's more than one experience. You know, and that what I find remarkable about the work that Hella does is that she is just as avid. North American playgrounds tend to just focus on gross motor. It's one type of play, large muscle group with open sight lines that hit it from every side. And the nuanced difference between that and these nature-based spaces is, and Hella's work is that they honor that quiet contemplative space, that space for a kid that just needs to pull back from all of that just as fully as they do that big muscle piece. So there's an effort to think about every kid's need, accessibility for every child. The kid that is interested in growing will have a greenhouse to grow things in. This is a learning space, not just what you would think of as a purely play space. We're bringing in the cobblestone from Chicago streets to line the edges of the pathways so that there's a historical reference. There's just an endless sort of number of things. As a designer and builder of these things, this is a crazy opportunity to play with some of the people I have the most respect for in the industry.
Tim Gill, can you talk about that idea? I had not considered that, but when I take my kids to a park, open sight lines, I can see everything. I can always keep an eye on them. I think I gather part of the idea here is giving kids that sort of shielding them from parents or watchful eyes of adults where they can sort of be off on their own. Can you talk about that aspect of this?
Well, and that is kind of the idea. And I can feel, you know, maybe hear some nervousness from you and maybe from some of your listeners, because, you know, it is kind of scary as a parent. I'm a parent. It's scary when you let your child out of sight for the first time. But you know, it kind of comes back to that point I was making earlier about the journey of childhood. We cannot keep our kids under our watchful eye their entire life. There's a point where we have to, you know, let them grow, to use Lenore's phrase. And actually that's best done in a kind of gradual way, and in a way where, you know, you know that the basic environment is safe and that there's not terrible hazards or you know, things lurking, but that you can, it's both us as adults learning to let go and children learning what it's like to be kind of on their own, you know, to be in a situation where the adults have faded from the picture a bit. And the wonderful thing about playgrounds like the one we're describing, by the way, you have got probably the Michelangelo of playgrounds on this project in Hella, who's somebody I've known for nearly 20 years. It's such a thrill to see this project come together, and with Adam, who's done more to create natural playgrounds in North America than just about anybody. So you know, this is a big deal, and it's pushing boundaries, and it's seeing what's possible, and it's bringing the highest levels of creativity, and it is going to be taking a few risks as a project, but it's putting faith in the people who are doing it, and also having faith in children and their ability to do what children have done for thousands of generations, which is learn, you know, from their own efforts and from their own mistakes.
Well, I can't wait to see it when it finally opens and is ready to go. Tim Gill is a scholar and advocate for child-friendly design. We've also been speaking with Adam Bienenstock, who's founder of a natural playground company, and Charlie Jobson, whose donation is making possible this natural playground at Hoos Elementary School, where he was a student once, in Bloomington Normal. Thank you all so much for being here today. That is all the time we have. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey.